Okay, I think we're back. Yes, we're back. Awesome.
We're back.
Hi, I'm Paul Gilday. I'm a PM on the composition team, and I'm here with John, and we're going to talk to you today about Windows composition.
Hi, John Zerna, also a PM on the composition team, and we're going to take you through the new Windows.UI.Composition API. Wanted to give you a little brief history of the API. This is kind of an interesting project. We've rolled out a brand new API in the November update, but we also put out a preview version of the API in the original release of Windows 10. This is kind of new for the company, so it was a very cool project to work on. We rolled the API out as a preview version as part of the initial Windows 10 release. It was under a security cap, but that allowed developers like you to go and play with it and give us some feedback. This worked great.
Yeah, but you couldn't submit to the store, right?
Exactly. You could not submit to the store. It was basically just a sort of a test drive, kick the tires kind of thing.
Right.
It also meant that we were safe to go ahead and change the surface and break things and when we learned stuff, which we did. But now we're for reals. We're out. It's a whole new world for Windows.UI.Composition. So happy birthday to the API.
Yeah.
I'm going to take you through sort of the high-level concepts of it, and then we're going to jump into some demos right away. We've got about three cool demos for you, four cool demos. Actually, we used one twice, so count it as double.
Right, and so the API, it's in the new SDK drop for the November release.
Absolutely, so it's in version 15.11, and it's all on 10.5.8.6. No security capability, free to use, free to submit to the store, make your apps cooler. So this is all about next-generation UI foundations. One of the things you'll notice when you're using a high-level framework like XAML is that you can do lots of cool stuff, but your app doesn't tend to look as polished as you'd like it to look.
Right.
And what Windows.UI.Composition is all about is bringing sort of some beautiful aspects to your application. It's the kind of thing people strived for when they were, dropping directly down to like a DX layer to try and do some really fancy stuff. But then they lost all the coolness of having a framework and all the benefits you got there. This is really a foundational API for UI. It's optimized for dynamic interactive content. These are direct composition objects coming right off the compositor. So they're fast, they're fluid. It allows you to apply animations directly on these compositor objects. And very important, it's designed for incremental interoperability with existing frameworks. We're not a framework. There's a whole lot of things we're not. We're sort of an enhancement to those layers. And Paul's going to take you through, sort of our non-goals.
Yeah, so one of the non-goals that we have is that we're not a rasterizer. So continue to rasterize your content using D2D, D3D, Win2D.
There are great ways to do that. We don't want to mess with that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But we are, we do use that content, and we also composite that content.
Exactly.
The other thing that you pointed at is that we're not a high-level framework. We don't have any controls, we don't have complex layout, we don't have data binding. We're really in the business of visualization.
Exactly.
And the other key point that you touched on was that we're meant to be used with XAML. And so you can take incremental value over time, so we're not advocating that you have to rewrite your entire application using all of these new capabilities. You can walk up to small pieces of your UI, can update it with these new visualizations, these new effects and animations, and you can have incremental value over time.
You'll hear us use the term composition island throughout the presentation, and that's all about sort of walking up and taking a piece of your app and putting it into what we call a composition island of the API to do some cool stuff in your code behinds. All right,
let's see some cool stuff.
Let's see some cool stuff. Let's watch the API at work and just let's basically doing its business. Which is kind of cool. This is a demo we have up on our GitHub today. It's called Slideshow. Now, it's important to sort of pay attention to what's going on here because it's easy to kind of get lost and say, it's like, well, what actually is happening? Well, what's happening here is actually...
Are we showing it?
Are we showing it? Let's get it up there.
Let's see.
Hold on.
One more. We got stuff moving? Oh,
there we go.
Oh, perfect.
Yay.
All right.
Yay. I want to point out the API had nothing to do with that transition.
Yeah.
So what you're seeing right now are literally hundreds and hundreds of keyframe animations happening all at the same time. These are all compositor objects. You're seeing smoothness at scale, which is very, very cool. Basically what this app does is it goes and it grabs stuff out of your pic folder and just basically throws it up there. Basically you're seeing things rotate. Where you see a black and white image, those are color images. They're being desaturated by the effects system. Where you're seeing a color image, that's where we've gone ahead and added saturation back. You're seeing us animating size. You're seeing us animating the positions as we come in with offsets. There's easing functions going on.
Whole bunch of stuff.
This is just like, we call this the kitchen sink demo.
Right.
It's available in our GitHub. You can pull it apart and take a look at it.
And we're going to get into all of this stuff. Yeah,
absolutely. So let's go ahead and move back to the main slides.
There you go.
All right. Oh, look at that. We actually made the transition faster. Yeah. We're not experts at the setup here. We're just we're just here for the API. So we're pulling the Channel 9 levers and kind of getting used to that. I want to talk a little bit about the visual layer in Windows 8.1 and what that looked like and the changes we made for Windows 10. So what you're all familiar with is the levers you had to pull in Windows 8.1. You had a framework like XAML sitting at the top level, and you could go ahead and work with that as an app developer. And then if you wanted to do something really custom, you had to fall all the way down to the DX layer. That was great if you knew what you were doing, and there are a lot of people out there who do, but this was pretty deep water for a lot of app developers. And it also meant that you lost the benefits of the framework, because you essentially just, you know, you had to, the way you had to mix it up and interop was not as clean as it could be. There was a direct composition layer available, but it was only available to Win32 apps, and it's not something app developers, you know, modern app developers really were taking advantage of. It sat primarily underneath the frameworks to power them, and it had decomp and direct manipulation. That all changed in Windows 10. We created a brand new visual layer called Windows.UI.Composition, which is what we're talking about today. It is directly accessible. It's a WinRT-friendly API. It's in C#. I got a question coming up from Jason about, I'm wondering if I can create some visual effect that is close to Zune software on the PC. I can't stop admiring Zune. I wanted to just stop for a second because the slideshow you saw was actually built by some developers who worked on the Zune software itself.
Exactly, yeah.
Who are now working on the composition team. And that was very much something we were thinking about. So thank you for that, Jason. It's almost as if we'd asked you for that question.
Right, yeah.
and we hadn't. It just kind of popped up there. So thank you very much for that question. But yes, some folks who worked on the API actually worked on some of that initial Zune software. So like the kind of things you saw with the pictures moving around in the PC version of Zune are things that inspired us.
Right.
This UI.composition layer is directly accessible. It's something you can get to in the code behind in your XAML app. We're going to show you all about that.
Yeah.
DirectX is still there if you need it. But this is sort of a whole new world of where we unify dmanip and dcomp in a WinRT-friendly...
Yeah, and the other thing to point out, too, is that a lot of times when you drop down from a framework like XAML down to DX, there's a lot of concepts that a developer has to think about.
Exactly.
And like just their mental model of the API shape is a whole different world. And
exactly.
So one of the cool things at Composition is we wanted to try to maintain some of those concepts to make it not as daunting to go learn a brand new technology. So it should feel, from a XAML and C# developer, it should feel very natural to them.
Exactly. And we thought a lot about that
right.
because it was sort of like, you know, we look up to the framework and have to be friendly in that direction, but we're also a graphics API that has to look down and be true to
true
to that as well. But give you that graphics level goodness without making you have to, you know, go into unfamiliar territory if you're an app developer. There's three huge chunks to the API, and we're going to talk about this in detail today. There's content visuals, effects, an effects system, and an animation system. If there's any slide or idea you come back to again and again with this API, it's this one. The fact that these are really the three chunks of how the API is divided. There's a set of objects that are created by the compositor. There are a set of effects that can be put on those objects, and you can animate those objects. One of the things that you'll learn today is that virtually everything in the API is animatable. So this is almost like a little bit of a hierarchy to some extent, because basically the visuals can be animated, the effects can be animated, and it's all being done through the animation system when you actually apply that.
Right.
There's a whole set of content visuals we'll talk through in a second.
Yep.
There's a whole set of effects we're going to dive into with a direct demo. And there are two key families of animations you can apply. We're going to talk about how this plays with existing animations you have today in XAML. Let's talk about content visuals. These are our family of lightweight rendering objects. I've got two diagrams here. One is essentially the representation of a tree, and the other is the actual visual hierarchy itself. So
right.
Don't think that these are like two visual trees playing together. Essentially, when you look at this, you're seeing just your classic render target with a visual with several other visuals attached to it, and we're going to get to the concept of the brushes later. But this is just sort of the tree. Now, here's what I really want to talk about. It's the actual object family. The composition object is just the high level object class that basically holds basically all of the inheritance.
Yeah, it's the base class.
It's the base class. And basically, in that base class, there is a visual. A visual basically is where all your properties live. We call this the base visual. It doesn't have any treeness, it doesn't have any content, but it is the base level object that has all the properties for transforms. So this is where your 4x4 matrix lives, your rotation angle, which can be in either radians or degrees. This is where your offset lives. This is where your size and your scale and all those kind of things. This is where your center point lives to define what you're going to rotate around. We also support an anchor point as well. So all of those things that are about transforming a visual, they're all here. Container visual is when you need treeness. It basically adds methods for adding and removing visuals as well as moving them in the actual tree itself. So there's like an add to top and move to bottom. There's an above and a below. Yeah. And you'll see sort of all this in action.
All the APIs that you need to build a visual tree.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly right. And then the sprite visuals where content lives. And sprite visuals will have brushes applied to them. And what we love about the sprite visual system is that it's extensible. We have the ability to go and add brushes to the API without breaking the surface on you by giving you more and more functionality. We'll show you what you've got in the effects system today with brushes. Everything in this hierarchy is animatable.
All the properties.
All the properties.
Yep.
All the properties. And that's a key point we like to keep stressing. Let us jump to another demo, which is the composition visual demo. So this is a demo that is this is a demo that's available in our GitHub today. It is a very simple demo. When Paul goes and tugs on one of these guys, basically three things happens at once. Oh, actually four. There's actually four things that happen.
There you go.
The order in the tree changes. It gets pulled to the top. Opacity goes to 100%. It rotates 45 degrees, and we clip the edges. We kind of love this demo to basically introduce you to the core concepts, because it basically just shows you a bunch of visuals that are being randomly generated with a loop and assigned a color, and then some basic actions basically being applied. Let's kind of jump right into the code of this guy.
The interesting thing with this one is that, so this is a frameworkless application.
Correct.
So this is just using straight up composition and core windowing and all that good stuff.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, a little secret, the way we actually got this thing, you know, first running was we actually used a XAML app that we just basically pulled the XAML out of and just threw a C# component in, so it still kind of lived in the framework a little bit. We just had to set our own main and define a root, which you'll see here. The core concept I really want you to take away from is this whole notion of the compositor. So because this is a frameworkless app, I had to actually go and new up a compositor.
Right.
Once I did that, I had that compositor, which is my factory for all of my objects that I'm going to create. So you'll see a persistent variable being created here, underbar compositor, and that's being used for all the creates. So it creates a container visual, which is...
Yeah, you can just see basically all the... All the API shape right here.
Yep. And it basically creates a container visual, which basically gave us the treeness. And then basically it'll create clips. It'll create all of the transforms you saw. Let's go to the inset clip. Yeah, there we go. So if scroll up just a hair on this, and you'll see this is where all of the business is happening when Paul actually clicks. The opacity gets set to 100%. There is a center point defined and a rotation of 45 degrees. You'll notice it's rotation angle in degrees. That way we wanted to be friendly to make sure you could actually specify degrees. The default graphics API is radians. And then a clip is applied, a very simple inset clip. We can clip in from the left, right, top, and bottom. So basically you're seeing every operation that was performed on those visuals when it was clicked. This is a great sample to get yourself familiarized with sort of the chunks of the API. All right.
Cool.
Let's move on to something fancy, because that was very basic. Let's talk about effects.
Yes.
If there's any of you around from way back in the day with WPF, we used to have effects in a XAML-like framework. We took them away. They're back.
They're a little different, though.
They're a little bit different. They are definitely a little bit different. They are available to you in the Composition Islands right now, and we'll talk more about the integration story when we get to XAML Interop.
Yeah.
But they are here, and they do cool stuff.
Yeah, so let's talk about that.
Let's talk about that.
So one of the main things that we really wanted to enable developers to do is build really kind of like polished and rich UI experiences. And so a lot of those capabilities are really just like blends and composites. And so that's a bulk of the effects that we have today in our API. The other cool thing, like we saw in slideshow, and we keep talking about, is that the effect properties are animatable.
Exactly,
and so,
which is really cool.
Yes, exactly. And so that's really nice, just because, you know, there's times where you want to be able to set the property, but then you also want to interpolate over that value. And we'll talk a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. The other cool thing is that we want these things to be flexible. So Personally, I'm not a super deep graphics guy, and so I don't know shader code.
Me neither.
But the cool thing is that you can chain these effects.
I don't have to.
Yeah, you can chain these effects together to make your own little kind of composite, so that you can kind of mix and match these building blocks. It's really nice. The other cool thing is that we're really trying to focus in on having a consistent story with our effects descriptions. And so one thing that you'll notice is, we'll give a shout out to the Win2D team, is that we're sharing the exact same effects descriptions. So if you're familiar with Win2D, you can use a similar set that they have available. Just use those exact same effect descriptions in your composition.
We worked really hard on this. I mean, the effects description language is something that's going to be standardized, I think, across. Paul touched on Win2D. Can't say enough about the Win2D guys. They're awesome. We work very tightly with them. They've released interop with a composition canvas with us. We use all their shaders. It's just great stuff.
Yeah. Cool. So we'll click over to the next slide here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let me.
And so here's kind of like a high level example of like the stuff that we have today.
Yep.
Lots of blends, lots of composites. And the other thing too is, I'm going to fire up over.
Yeah, this is kind of boring. Let's actually see this running in an app. I mean, that's just slideware. Let's give you some actual code running.
Okay. Ooh, this one clipped weird. All right. Anyway, but so this example here, it's not in our GitHub yet, but we're working on getting it there.
Right. And there's a very basic effect sample out there today. Yeah. You can sort of see a desaturation effect with there, but this one's going there as well.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And so this one lets you kind of just explore over all of the effects that we have, and then kind of just play with the properties. So you can manipulate each of the properties, and you can see in real time what those properties do. Also, you can click on the animation, and it'll animate that property.
You can see, basically, this is like a little chunk of the slideshow we showed you earlier. It's the picture basically animating in and out of saturation.
Yeah, and so we have a whole bunch of...
animate this guy. It's always fun.
Yeah, this one's always fun. It kind of gives you...
Yeah, here's like sort of the psychedelic hue rotation. Yeah.
But cool, yeah. And so we're working to get that one up, and this is really kind of a great example of all of the stuff that you can do. With effects.
Yeah, effects are there. We had a couple of questions sort of pop up while we were talking. One around the XAML designer, about project code. May or may not be a question around how I would actually use this code in the designer. Mm-hmm. The answer to that is it's not. It's C sharp, so this will not appear up in your designer if that question was about using the composition stuff and seeing it up in the designer. And then we'll talk a little bit about perf later. I think we had a question on perf come up. We'll deal with that if we get down near the end, because perf is a big goal for us. Let's talk a little bit about the animation system. So you've been seeing the animation system. The animation system is kind of like the force. It's been everywhere throughout this presentation. It's been kind of working. I'm sorry, I've got Star Wars fever. It's only a week away. So the animation system is throughout everything you've seen. You've seen it acting on virtually everything except our initial composition visual sample. There's two key pieces of it. I'm going to tell you about keyframes and talk a little bit about animation today in the framework versus animation and composition. So keyframe animations are exactly what they say. They are animations over time. You set a keyframe, and then you define when the travel time in 0 to 1 as to how far you will to get there, and you can define interim steps. When you saw the slider being hit on the hue psychedelic effect we had, that's a keyframe animation, just sort of cycling through there. When you saw the rotation going on in slideshow, that was a keyframe animation on rotation angle and a rotation axis and angle, basically moving that guy around the center point.
Just basically value over time.
The thing I am going to call out is that we do cool stuff. We have easing functions, linear, cubic, and Bezier. We support quaternions. If you know what a quaternion is, you are very excited right now. If you don't know what a quaternion is, go look it up. You will be very excited. It's a very key animation concept, and it's something you're not going to get in basic animation. I want to talk a little about performance, because we know we were going to say that. We have people asking about effects in the future, which is interesting. So we'll get to that. I want to talk a little about performance here. We had another great question come up about where our GitHub is. We're going to give you a slide at the end with our GitHub location.
Yes.
It is github.com/MicrosoftWackComposition. So we are under the overall Microsoft GitHub. So we'll get to that. Great to see the questions, because people are interested.
Yeah.
So the last thing I really want to talk about here before kicking it over to expression animations and letting Paul take you through that is that you may be asking one question about, how do we play with existing animations in XAML today, like storyboards. This doesn't replace storyboards. This is designed to be something above and beyond what storyboards can actually deliver today. If you use storyboards, they're great for what they do, which is a very simple, you know, animation of a few objects over time. What the composition APIs do differently is give you scale. When you drop down to our layer and do keyframe animations, you're literally animating hundreds and hundreds of objects all at once.
And these are composition objects.
They're composition objects. The other thing storyboards can't do is do the animations directly off the compositor. So that's really the key difference. Now, with all great power comes great responsibility. So when you drop down to the composition layer, you are moving outside of the XAML reservation to some extent, and you are managing your composition island inside your XAML app. And you do have to be aware about that. So you're not going to be able to, it's sort of a one-way trip right now. It's something we're working on in the future, but you get the level of polish that you need. Let's talk about expressions.
Yes.
Expressions are super powerful and cool.
Yes. Yeah. And so, to talk about expressions is that one of the kind of key scenarios that we see a lot of people doing, and it's kind of like the fashionable UI pattern today, is being able to drive the value of visuals based off another object's value. And so, that in generic terms, but things that people might be familiar with are like parallax, where
right.
I want to move my scroller and I want to, you know, move another object at a different rate, but that's really tied to the value of the scroller. And so you see that a lot. And so now today with expression animations, we can actually achieve those types of effects.
It's very cool.
Yes. And so a lot of that had to do with kind of where the compositing, the rendering was happening in your application.
That's
so,
right.
A lot of that scrolling, to get that buttery smooth scrolling, that was done on a different thread. And so if you were trying to coordinate kind of the value of your scroll viewer with content in your application, you wouldn't actually get, you know, quite the up-to-date.
Well, you're on the UI thread for everything.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And so what expressions allow you to do is kind of upfront say, hey, here are the properties that I want to associate. It gives that to the compositor, and then the compositor will do that on your behalf.
Right.
And so I guess we'll jump right into a demo here. And so let me switch to the...
We call this demo parallax.
Right, yeah. So we'll see some of that in action.
There we go.
And so here I have just kind of a basic scroller, a scroll view here.
Not very interesting though, right?
But no,
like
it's
basically
not.
That's like something I could just do in XAML today.
Right.
So let's take a look at making this a little bit cooler. Now I want you to notice there's not a lot of code here from the comp API that's being enabled to make this happen. We can all hum the Jeopardy stuff. Theme in our heads as we wait for the build to happen.
I was going to say, they need to give me a Surface Book is what I need to get.
Yeah, totally. Totally. This is an argument for a Surface Book. Now, I want you to pay attention to just a little bit of code, what that did. Go ahead and keep scrolling all the way up and look at that background image. That's being triggered. That scrolling of the background image is being triggered by the input that's being fed to it by the primary scroller.
Yep.
And that is the composition API giving you smooth, beautiful scrolling. And clearly didn't have enough coffee, all working together. And okay. And when you go look at this up in our GitHub, you will see how simple this is.
Yep.
This is also a great example of XAML interop.
Yeah.
Which is
the next section.
Speaking of which, it's almost as if we planned it. We want to move into XAML interop next. Take a brief pause here. I've got a couple of questions that have come up. Will I be able to do neat things like blur and transparency in the future? We are constantly working on our effects story. We don't have any firm release dates for new effects, but top people are at work, to quote the end of the Indiana Jones films. No, in all seriousness, we are working on this quite hard. We know there are key scenarios like blur out there that people want, and we are working on that. The API is extensible, and look for cool stuff in the future. All right, so let's talk a little bit about XAML interop.
Yeah. Like
we said, we've been saying throughout this presentation, this is all about making apps in the framework greater and better. The way interop works right now, and this is an ongoing story for us as the API matures and develops over time. Remember, we're like all of like 6 weeks old right now, and like 6 months old if you count the preview period. Is a much more tighter integration with the XAML framework. But right now, I think we have a pretty good level of integration going on. The way it works is we have a couple of methods that allow you to just basically walk up to a UI element and get what we call its backing visual. This is, in fact, a handoff visual. So if I take a look at some classic XAML elements here, the framework will basically hand you out a backing visual for each of these UI elements. So just take a look at button, for example. I walk up to a button. using get element preview visual. I've got the methods on the next slide. We'll walk through it. We love IntelliSense. We don't memorize this stuff. There you go. Get element visual.
There you go.
And we call these preview right now. The XAML guys have these defined as preview because we know that these are going to be ongoing and vetted. But there is nothing restrictive about these APIs. They can be in shipping code. They are under any kind of capabilities. You can walk up. You can get that backing element. I'm going to flip back here for the button. And then I can do things to that button. It's not as discrete as being able to walk inside the button itself and discreetly see the tree of the button and, you know, either separate out the text or the background. It's not that level of detail yet. That's something we have on our backlog we're looking at. But right now you can go get that button and you can apply an animation to it. I could also walk up to a grid and apply an animation to that entire grid if I wanted to move everything in it. Essentially, that's how it works. Also, we have the get element child visual and the set element child visual. This is all about being able to go build that composition island. So if I want to go get that backing visual and then add a bunch of children's and treeness to it, I can. These will all be composition objects.
Right, yeah. So one scenario is basically get the backing visual, manipulate it with animations, expressions.
Exactly.
Or I want to basically build my own composition tree and do some sort of custom visualization, but I want to host that in a XAML application.
Right. Now, this is where we got lazy and we used the same demo twice because we're going to walk back to the Parallax demo because we already showed you XAML interop. It's almost as if we thought about it.
Right, yeah. And so, as you can see, this is just a regular XAML application. So here's my partial class here. And so the one thing that we're doing here when I talked about the Parallax example is that we're really basically maintaining properties and values, and we're giving those to the compositor to manage those. And so one of the things that we can do with interop is we can actually get a composition property set from a scroll viewer. So you can see here I'm passing in a scroll viewer and I'm getting back a property set, which essentially inside of that gives me the translation value that I want to then feed into an expression animation. But before that, we need actually, before we can create anything, we need a composite object.
Yeah, right. we need an object.
And so with XAML interop is that as soon as you create one of the handoff visuals, you can get a back pointer to the compositor that XAML uses.
I noticed we didn't new up a compositor anywhere here, right?
So it's right here, exactly.
Yeah, because we get it for free.
Yep.
The key thing here is like in the frameworkless one, you saw us new up a compositor because we had to have it because we were essentially frameworkless.
Yeah.
In the framework, when you're handed that visual, you get the compositor for free. You're essentially safely partying on XAML's graphics device, but you know, in a safe way. You really don't have direct access to it. It's being all fronted for you by the composition API.
Yep. And so we create an expression animation here, and so really, this is basically getting the value from the scroll viewer, and then you're just multiplying some multiplier to slow down the translation of your backing image. And then here we're setting it as like this is our reference, this is our input into our expressions animation. And then here we get our background image, we get the handoff visual.
Here it is, here's the get element visual, it's the actual interop in the element composition preview. This is actually the interop in action.
Yes, and then here is where we actually wire up that expression animation to the output, and we want to basically say, hey, that backing visual, we want to manipulate the offset, and specifically in the Y direction, we want to tie in that scroll viewer times the multiplier to then move it like that. And
that's pretty much interop.
That's interop, yeah.
Yeah, got a couple of questions, and we're going to try and get to some of them. One of them is, I understand you're mostly 2D. Yes, currently we are 2D. Are we thinking about 3D? Absolutely. Don't have a time frame for you that we can talk to as to when we expect to more tightly integrate 3D, but it is something that we think about because as part of that question I hear about, I'm seeing HoloLens support. It's definitely something we're thinking about. It's a team we work with pretty tightly. Don't have anything we can say about that right now, but it's definitely something we're thinking about. Another question about core animation on iOS, how does it compare? It's a similar concept to some extent. You know, Apple, when they rolled out the door with UIKit and Core Animation, sort of gave you direct access to that visual layer as well. You'll find some concepts familiar if you're familiar with Core Animation, some concepts a little bit different. The concept of a visual equating to a layer, kind of similar. It's certainly that same idea of giving you that level of access. Let's see.
Yeah, but speaking about access, why don't we tell people where they can go get access to stuff?
So we had a question earlier about the GitHub and everything. Sorry, I was just trying to parse through all the questions that were flying in there. Let's go take a look at this for more info, because we're kind of coming up to the end of our time. So product docs. This is a fully documented API on MSDN. You can go there for our product docs. We did a little bit extra for you, though, at the release. And I want to give a huge shout out to the entire Composition PM team who worked very, very hard, as well as the development team who built a absolutely kick-butt API. So the whole team needs to be congratulated. Yeah. Worked very hard to get you some documentation out there as well. And we also created some overview concept docs in the Windows Developer Center. Highly encourage going to read those. The product docs are where you go to answer basic questions. This is where you can go to basically dive in and really kind of see some core concepts. You'll see a whole bunch of stuff there. There's our GitHub location, which I'm hovering over and hiding. I don't want to do that. There's our GitHub location. Apparently, you can find it fairly easily because a questioner we got earlier said, hey, I found it. Let's see. The samples are all living there. For everything you really want to play with, look under 10.5.8.6. That's the current version of the
new SDK.
Of the new SDK. That's where all that lives. Follow us on Twitter at WinComposition. Basically, our PM team monitors that. We have day jobs, so we don't jump on it as fast as we could. We're getting there.
Yeah.
We're working on it. It's funny for a lot of people who've worked in a composition layer supporting other frameworks. This is their first experience actually doing a lot of social networking, so it's kind of cool.
Yeah,
people are really enjoying that.
Definitely.
Let's see. We have a question on: can I define a matrix in determining where the elements are rendered? I'd need to kind of break that down a little bit. This may or may not be about going in and doing a composition island. Or this may be about things like 9-grid. I'm not sure. I need a little more detail on that to really answer that one. So if you got a little more detail for us, go ahead and do that. We'll see if we can get to it. Other than that, I don't know if we have much else. Please feel free to go tweet that question at us as well. And we can have a bunch of people take a look at it.
Cool.
All right. I think that's it.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much for paying attention to this.
All right. Thanks.